interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 435. Did you miss me, folks? I got quite a few emails interested that I was gone. Thank you very much for your interest. It was the techno gods. We're one router failure away from censorship. This was supposed to be the new router that we got a couple weeks ago. And it was really nice on the bandwidth up until it failed. So appreciate that you're concerned. No, I know the coronavirus bogus did not get me. I don't think it's there, folks. I really don't. More and more this comes down. There's just no way this can hold water. I don't know how it's been lasting as long. If I get to the lots of being an overachiever on the tabs, it's just so much information coming out. I can't even get to all of it. The week that I failed, that's 2 weeks behind now. So let's get on with it. Remember here, folks, the vaccinated spread endless diseases. This is all in the writing. If you just read it. This is only those of you that care that are coming to me that need protection too. The problem of where do you begin? This thing is really an interest. I told you this would be the most difficult thing we'd face as a people. And you're watching this come out. But remember, the vaccinated spread endless diseases that the unvaccinated can't. And now they're going to become, we're going to hear it today, they're coming with a perturbed view that now, because you're unvaccinated, you need to be protected and you're going to be placed somewhere, like I told you was coming. And you're going to need to be able to think about this really clearly on how you're going to address it. I don't even know if there's going to be an answer. When things go rogue, it's going to be very difficult. So the unvaccinated can't spread endless diseases. In fact, if they do get a disease, their immune system steps up. And those that are on the way out or have comorbidities are going to suffer anyway. What you won't suffer necessarily will be in a direct injection of a chemical attack, which is what, I don't know how I have not proven, not me proving it, that's in the record that you can go read to show this is a synthetic chemical construction. And all the so-called experts are lying about what it is. The unvaccinated can't spread what the vaccinated are designed to spread, folks. So you're going to have to get all this information for you as we start working in. And I just can't see more than what I've been telling you before. The habeas corpus, in fact, I'm now thinking I may have to decide to write one up for whomever I know wants one relative to where we are, relative to what's starting to come down. Although, I'm a little bit removed from it all. Those of you in the more urbanized places should really consider what's coming on. And interestingly, and where I started to focus today's broadcast and tabs, we'll get to here soon, was where this started. This started back in 9/11. We're coming onto that time again, and you notice the terrorism stuff is ramping up. The origination of what we went to other places has been now exposed for the fraud that it was. And this is all really kind of like an elaborate way to get at the people of the United States and really the people of every country in the world. And the problem with the United States, for us, we were supposed to be that beacon of freedom. The people were supposed to be ready to protect themselves. And we found very quickly that hardly anybody wants to and thinks they need to, actually. Well, they're going to come. They're coming to your door. And they're going to run your life as anybody. The future they want is what's going to be guiding the whole thing. Without a word in your mouth, it's going to happen. I cannot see any other thing going on. There's no other signal I'm getting. Then this thing keeps rolling out exactly the way the document said that they would. Public-private partnerships are stepping up just like that. We were told they were going to do it. It's all sustainable, whether you want to believe in all that or not, or maybe not go that far. It's all happening. And you have a judiciary that I am convicted because I have a default judgment with my name on it relative to Jefferson Mining District stating that the Bar Association would help. They would help bring down the country. And so this is not a question to me. It's not a question of how it was going to happen. The question seemed to be, would we stand up? And I told you that Operation Hindsight 2020. I told you that at 1999, December 31st. In fact, I went back through and I found that there is no test. I kind of wondered whether or not I told you accurately that I had mentioned that there was no test in the end of March. It turns out I said it at the 1st of March. So there was no, if the guy behind the woodshed can see it, everybody in the world should have been able to see it. Okay, maybe that's a little bit of a stretch because it did take a little bit of a magic decoder ring work. But everybody can learn that. Everybody can learn that. They can learn how to discern the deception. It's really easy to do after a bit. So the remember, you're in a position that you are the vulnerable one because you're unvaccinated, and they know it. They know that the chemical weapon attack is coming from the vector of the vaccinated. And so they're now going to use that against you. It's a self-inflicted wound they cause. And when you finally get this understood, you might be able to put that in what you're going to be coming up with. Given this thing goes where it goes, and we start to become more locked down than we ever thought. It's all written there to be done. And I wish I could say it wasn't rolling in that direction. I wouldn't even be caring. I'd be on to probably something else, likely. I don't really want to even talk about it more. I'm done with it. I mean, everyone says they're done with it, but I mean, I've got it understood. I realize what's going on, but these people are here to hurt you. They're here for keeps. What is being coerced and extorted under the color of a health emergency is fraud, folks. And what I don't think people appreciate is once you find that, the fraud, as we're told, as most people that do any research at all, particularly people that get locked up to the maxims and say, oh, here's some of these truths, the fraud is said to vitiate everything it touches, coming and going, everything. So relative to vaccinations and what they're coming down and up with, what they're coming up with to come put down, come you bring you down, relative to vaccinations, even so-called, people are refusing nothing because it's a fraud what they're presenting. So you're not vaccinated, you're not refusing anything because there aren't a vaccination. There aren't a vaccination relative to a valid condition. So you're not hesitant about anything. You're not refusing anything. You're refusing nothing. And you got to understand how this thing seems to work so you can put that forward, because your first mention is going to be that they're coming at you with fraud. And it's going to be more complicated now as they bring up, that's why they're shifting from the PCR test to the multi-step, multi-assay. And as I explained how they're going to hide the non-existence of SARS-CoV-2 inside the remainder. How they have to decouple from influenza. We're going to have documents here really quickly when you start reading through it. That's all they're focused on is a pandemic influenza, not SARS-CoV-2. This is always a setup. But they're going to use it to fly cover for the entirety of the fraud, because they can't let people really believe it's a fraud. They got to give somebody something for people to plausibly buy into to keep the doubt in their mind. And they've done a good job of that against most everybody. So there's nothing that you're hesitant against because it's fraud. If they want to throw that out there, you just return it back at what they're proposing as a fraud, and you're not hesitant against anything because fraud vitiates everything. And it's not your burden. In fact, a court case just came up, and that might come up here in the times we'll ever get to them, where someone's actually asserting this unconstitutional act doctrine. And getting at the fact that they're flipping the burden on you when they don't have the right to. A professor is suing a university. I think about that. I think that link came out of the RLM chat last night from Echelon. We'll get to that. Well, they're going to be in the links eventually in the blogcaster. So you're not hesitant against anything. You're refusing nothing because it's a fraud. Fraud vitiates everything it touches. So unless the courts now embrace fraud, the government stands upon nothing, if you follow this logic. And if the courts embrace fraud, their orders mean nothing. Only to the gullible. And this starts to press on our 2013 lawsuit. We found out they're literally committing treason, what they do. The Bar Association members are committing treason. They agreed to that in a default. And none of their members are in good standing, actually, in law. And I'm trying to lay this out so you get a mindset going that you can start to approach this a little different than what you're going to be facing as an authority, because it's starting to build up to be a lot worse. I hope we can avoid it, but I don't. If we think that we're going to avoid it and do the la 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 thing, and then it shows up, and you want to be free and have some say, so you're not actually forced into getting what that they are selling to put you on the endless disease train and the endless medication train and the lessening of quality of life they claim to be protecting in everybody. You're going to have a little bit more in you than a question. So given the fraud vitiates this whole thing, and it's their burden, and they haven't shown, and they have no test to be able to show, then you're going to see that the CDC have moved the ball a little bit, moved the goal line over and said, well, it's not about, Pete, you'll read this when you finally get to the documentation. It's not about only experimental tests. The government is saying, in the military side of this, that they understand it through the fact of the definition by case, the word C-A-S-E. It's why they did that early on. We found that definition, the use of the word case, is a fraud. We found through rule use that they promulgated rules outside of the extension of the, outside of the will of the legislatures to allow the foreign invader to have a say. And so you have to get this about how this thing works so you understand what you will be able to present. So the fraud is even in what they're offering, but it's looking like authority, which I suppose we call authorita, but doesn't really exist. It's all fraud, right? There's nothing really there. So essentially, nothing is not a public health emergency. So don't get into this idea that you have any argument to make with somebody. You just assert that they have the burden to show it's not a fraud. You're going to get a lot of resistance, and you're going to get, especially the ones that are given the authority by most people to have an authority, such as a judge, when they do the fancy pants dance and they throw in all this smoke and mirrors upon your point. You're going to have to have a little bit more thought. And I know this is a lot of things people don't want to do. They'll turn away. You don't think you have to. And I'm not looking to create stuff. I'm trying to show seeing that there's no way around where this thing continues to go despite this open fraud. And you see what's going on in Australia, you kind of get an idea that they're meaning business about how they're going to work this thing through and lock it all down. We're not much different than, and they're making references now to the Japanese. The Japanese got the promotion of being the people that were put away. There was about five other peoples that were put away during the Japanese internment for World War II in the United States of America. They got shade. And so we're looking at that seemingly again the way it's coming down. You may have the right to, you're looking for maybe a t-shirt, discourage coercion, jab is felony, come to mind. Discourage coercion, jab is felony. Why? Because it's fraud. It's a fraud. It's a very elaborate fraud. And it's connected. It has nothing to do with the health emergency. It has to do with the future we want, which is not you, your future, or by any of your standards, or by any of the law that you thought was there to protect you. That these people were supposed to live by. So let me move on into something I want to go back to, because I told you this was starting from what? The 9/11 thing. There's a perpetuation of what we were going to see. I said in the last day of 2019, moving into what we now see as the medical martial law condition that everybody denied. All this stuff is coming to pass over time. You're going to have your papers. There's a lot of pushback about that, but again, there's a persistence that I don't think is being addressed. Even in this lawsuit I just talked about, the professor, they agree to COVID something. They agree SARS-CoV-2 can do something. Now, it can, but it's not because it's natural. It's because it's a chemical weapons attack. They don't talk anything like this. But this is the straddling the fence to try and get somewhere. I guess it's prudent to try that when you're in a complete occupation. But that's not going to out the fraud. That actually buys into it and tries to find your little niche within the fraud. So we got quite a few things to kind of consider how we do that and where our principles would lie. How much can you take and what can you get? And that just proves you're not free, that you have to even consider that. But somebody, some country got themselves freed, and I was kind of intrigued when they said it. Anybody who went into this country, any nation that tried to invade this country, they would not prevail. And that was told to us that the example was Russia. The latest one was Russia going into this country, and they didn't prevail. It'll also be said now that when the next country went in and didn't prevail, Russia's going to take some advantage, but I think that's all partially propaganda. But Kabul has fallen. What was started by 9/11 and the dropping of the towers, and seemingly to me, a permission by the military to do so, to give them whatever they thought they were going to do geopolitically to get into the Middle East, to go after boogeymen like we do boogie viruses now. They attacked Afghanistan, and it was said then that Afghanistan would not succumb to the United States, the power of the United States. We get the news here last week or so, Kabul has fallen, a fake president surrenders, Taliban wins, flawless victory. I don't know how flawless, but it was persistent. And they're taking what you would know as an organized inferior. It's like the British doing their lineup of muskets to shoot the Minutemen, and the Minutemen are using guerrilla tactics to defeat the British. Is the same type of thing that the United States walked into without an actual valid cause. And this is the thing that I turned on immediately, was the invalid of the cause. There was no cause actually there. It was another fraud. And it's being, this Kabul has fallen to the Taliban, so-called, is that it fell from the United States, looking now like another Saigon. Another political incursion that really should not have happened. So history repeating itself, we're watching fallen geopolitics going on and on and on. And don't underestimate the COVID's a political attack on you. And there's questions now when, as I said before, when they get rid of fighting over there, where are those military troops now, hardened, seasoned, urban warriors there, or are they coming in to come after the domestic terrorists here, is a thought. Although when you see a few thousand people, it doesn't seem like much. But when everybody's locked up and disarmed and think they don't have to fight, there's nothing to fight, and it won't be in guns anyway. The militaries can come along and deal with you one at a time. And your Second Amendment becomes nothing. But Kabul has fallen. I think this is a big story, a big report. But what I find interesting is when you look inside this story, it also talks about the Taliban. Remember early on, they were just the students and people that didn't want to be oppressed. And they were the mentality of the people that didn't want to be oppressed that turned to fighting their oppressor. So that's always stuck in the back of my mind. They're victorious. They went back in and are taking down their puppet government. And they are Islamic. They're going to be putting that in. And what's very interesting is to watch how if it's true what we're being told, this is the other potential problem, because the United States went immediately onto propaganda, which again shows another thing going on. And we've got to be careful about the smoke and mirrors of all this. That the Taliban is looking and answering, is coming into that and answering, bringing answers that are much different than we were propagandized to. For instance, they didn't go and kill everybody. They are allowing passage out. I suppose the Russians are involved in the backdrop of this, they're doing the same thing that they did in Syria, and the Taliban are listening to properly get this thing transferred. The transfer of power has been said by China to be more organized than that in the transfer of power in the United States from the presidency. And these, to me, are all truisms. You can't deny what's going on there. The Taliban also have now been reinstituting the rights of women in different ways, although we'll probably hear this horror stories coming down about how women are mistreated. Apparently, burqas are now not required like they were under the United States puppet government. There is a more apparent, what I understand about the Islamic religion and Islamic way of life, there is a more Islamic rule, which is more peaceful, and I know all the ideas were around that, oh, it's a peaceful religion, and this is what you see to get all the propaganda. That's politics. The religion has a different view on things. And then there you've got the adulterations of what the religion is within the religion. the eschatology of this seems to be far different than we're told. The upshot of it all is the United States went in under the fraud of 9/11. And it's now been ousted. All of that wasted. We lost a ton of equipment, and those of you taxpayers, all your money got spent on equipment, battle equipment that was left behind on top of it all. High technology stuff being left behind for another enemy to fight you in the future war, apparently, if that's the other smokescreen. But this series of stories about Kabul falling to the Taliban is very interesting to me. I feel somehow at peace that has happened. And I hope those people get back to a normalcy in their life. I don't know that life. I don't know their standards. I don't know much about anything more than I can read. But it's never good to have an oppressor. If those people agree that the Taliban rules and they start to rule like they look like they're doing immediately, and they aren't the vicious criminals to the people that are remaining, and they bring a sense of order and peace, then they should have that. So the report came out right off the bat here that Kabul's fallen. This is obviously says the fake president surrendered, Taliban wins flawless. That's certainly one-sided. That's fine. The point is that the United States got moved out really quickly, and Biden is being criticized for this haphazard way of quickly moving without protecting people. But apparently the 17,000 privateers that are there, 10,000 of which were remaining when the military left, they're not being attacked. They're going to be let out. So this is a little different view than we were told what was going on in the evil, the axis of evil that was over there that were promoted in the United States. And I'm talking to us in the United States of America, understanding the military's been lying. They go off, I'm not speaking to the choir that knows this. What I'm saying is that they're going to use these same tactics coming back at us. As it was planned for 9/11 that started this against us, and we didn't know it or didn't want to pay attention. If the PATRIOT Act wasn't enough, making everybody enemy combatants in their own country. Well, their country, except there's a district over there that's not the states. It's a foreign to the states. But the word comes out immediately. And interesting, Pepe Escobar writes a report. And at first I was a little bit not sure about how this was working out and why he was speaking the way he was. But I think as you read this story called How Russia, China Are Stage Managing the Taliban, you kind of see there's an understanding, he has an understanding of the thing, and it's more of a balanced, it's not so finger-pointing that it is a balanced approach because of the mismanagement and mishandling by the United States and essentially the occupation empire building the United States did so ham-handedly. And so there's, again, the dynamic in the world is working. People are taking, countries take advantage where they can, they take the opportunities as they might, and it seems to be the way of the world, dog eat dog, and so that part is, you gotta kinda look and see, that's the natural scheme of things in a way. My view over this last 20 years or 30 years with Russia is, they're very adept at doing diplomacy. I think they're known for that. The United States has become so ham-handed about everything that it does. It's embarrassing, to say the least. So the propaganda is that Russia and China are taking advantage. But when you look at Afghanistan and the Taliban coming in, it's not so cut and dried. It looks like the Taliban will be faithful to their faith at this level, at this point, and it may be that they will bring that peace that they've anticipated for themselves in the past. So there's an analysis done by Brandon Smith on this. Don't remember now where Brandon Smith comes to my mind, where I've heard his name before. Brandon Turbeville, I think, comes in my mind too. The same kind of people that do the analysis. He has the Afghanistan exit debacle, incompetence, distraction, or something more sinister. The title caught my mind. I read through the story. There's another type of analysis going on. To me, this is just all pointing back at us, folks. Remember, I told you a long time ago, what we're pointing to the terrorists and the Taliban and the ISIS. ISIS was a CIA thing, but anyway, all that stuff over there is actually three fingers pointing back to us and how the people are going to be treated. And I'm bringing that to remind you of this COVID thing is a military operation. It's a PSYOP. I don't know why, and I don't really know how the military is allowing themselves to do this unless it's all part of that plan too, and it is dual use, gain of function globally, folks. So the people seem to be the fodder, and we haven't figured that out. And so these insights of these articles that I read, I want to provide in the broadcaster for you to read, to start to put in your mind the dynamic of what goes on within the world when there's a oppressor that's afoot and trying to gain advantage or cause distraction, as he says here, distraction, incompetence, or something more sinister. And any people that are going to be oppressed would be that. The U.S. Then moves after this Taliban takeover, peaceful enough as it was. There was very little fighting, and it happened very quickly. As you read these stories, it was really an interesting take back, if you will. Not take over, take back. It was their own land they're taking back. United States freezes $9.4 billion of Afghanistan's central bank reserves. This is an interesting story. This comes subsequent to the next story I'm going to read, which starts to tell you maybe the Taliban's not quite as bad. If they're a bunch of academics and philosophers and teachers and students and the people that just wanted to be left alone and not be oppressed, and they took up arms against their oppressor, if that's what these are, they're already responding with intelligence back for their own sake. They're not really amenable so much to Russia and China. They're going to hold their own, but they are understanding a better way into the future to work with people for the good of themselves. But the United States immediately comes and drops, it blocks $9.4 billion in the central bank reserves. Well, there is for us the knowledge that you're in the central bank system, you're subject to control. And that's a debt system. Evidence, you're carrying around the Federal Reserve note, they say right on it, they're evidences of debt. That's their definition. You're in debt. You're a debt society. Debtor is not a master bee. Okay, so this is a debt. And the Taliban will be smart to go ahead and forego this and extract themselves from this debt, servitude, slavery system. But you see the United States controls by this system. You see the United States withholds from another nation its life's blood relative to the international scene and banking. And as long as this good reflection back at us, the United States of America, we don't set up really quickly and get an alternative message of substance, like the gold and silver we're told is the actual money in this country, and you do it at your local state level, and we do this immediately and voluntarily. These are the types of structures that are coming in on us, digitized in the future. If I get there at the very end, you're going to see it's actually the Internet of Things is the battlefield of things, if you will. It's the Internet battle things. I told you was there. It told you that they told us that. The people of the United States are going, I don't know how they're going to do this because they're so enamored with being victims over this non-existent thing, this fraud of given a name, that I don't know how we're going to extract ourselves. But we're going to see also in the tabs, it takes just a few people in this country, even though there's thousands and thousands around, a few people. Those few people get kicked out of a system, they cause havoc. And this will be here. The nurse's story in Houston, what's going on there now. But here the Taliban money's stolen by the United States government. So the United States government and the centralized money systems have control of all these nations. That's a rule for us, the United States. As long as you deal in those systems or the paper or the medium of those systems, that you're going to be as controlled. And this gets us to the digital currencies as well and social credit. And that's all the same thing. Now, that pulling of the money came back because they claim, oh, we're going to protect the people of Afghanistan so the Taliban don't use the money wrongly. Well, the Taliban come in and it's also supposedly, we're told, lots of people reporting, it's really peaceful. They're actually making some decisions I wouldn't have thought by the stories we were told of how terroristic they are. But according to reports, the Taliban, right before that money was held, the Taliban banned COVID vaccines in Afghanistan's province. Now, I found that just fascinating. Why would they do that? Is that such a terroristic move? Now, with my knowledge, I don't think that's a terroristic move at all. These people must be very intelligent. and maybe not so terroristic. And maybe they do want for themselves better than what an oppressor would give. Whether it is a debacle or not, I don't know. Multiple presidents let that go on. Again, all of a fraud. It all came to no good because it was started by no good. Fraud vitiates everything. And then going on, Biden is expanding Trump's war on domestic violent extremism. Here's the three fingers pointing back. And it wasn't ended. All this stuff from 9/11, no matter what president happened, none of this focusing on the people of the United States as extremists, no matter what you end up saying, because you're going to see it's not just the white side, it's not just white people with identity problems. They're actually focusing this and turning this on the black folks as well. This is how this all works, and I don't see how the people haven't figured this out yet. Biden is expanding Trump's war on domestic violent extremism at home at the same time they're ending the violent extremism they impose and oppress the Afghan people. Let me add really quickly, let's watch. For those of us that are kind of looking at how the dynamic of things works in the religious side, let's see if what happens from Afghanistan doesn't become a focal point in the future. Relative to a future that was predicted to us to come out. The rise of maybe an orthodoxy. The combining of two religions that are going to fight an oppressor that's come onto the world. I'm going to be very interested to see, because that's what's been predicted. I'm waiting to see how that works out. And right now, Taliban, the Afghanistan now government, whether or not it's acknowledged by anybody else in the world, it's their government, who are the people before the oppressor, seem to be making some pretty interesting and intelligent decisions at this point. Now, the next story we have is that Biden is expanding Trump's war. Whether that's a political statement here, I don't know, but this is the truth. The domestic violent extremism, it's now focusing back on the three fingers that were always focusing back on the United States when we were pointing out the terrorists, supposed terrorists in other countries. Story here, with gas masks covering their faces, police officers in Mobile, Alabama stood guard at an entrance of a highway on an on-ramp as tear gas wafted in the air. Then, video shows a woman wearing a red handkerchief around her neck ran up to a police SUV. She shouted something back to the crowd before swinging a red bat into the car's passenger seat window, shattering it. Mobile never saw the looting or property destruction that took place elsewhere in the weeks and the months after the Minneapolis police murdered George Floyd, but 21-year-old Ty Poo's single act amid otherwise non-confrontational terrors captivated the community, and the police, who tracked her via Facebook to her apartment 2 days after the protests on January 2nd, 2020, they hauled her handcuffed in front of press cameras. Pugh, however you would spell the, say that, I'm going to call it, I guess it could be Puh, a black woman. Remember, we just talked about the title was the extremism, domestic violent extremism. This has been focused on the white privileged side for quite a few years now. But look who gets... Look how the government treats this. And this is what I'm going to point out about your color is irrelevant to them calling you a terrorist. You are all colored by the law. And that's the exactions of every kind. And you'll be put into a system that's a meat grinder called the justice system. It's criminal justice. They name it like that. You think it's all about justice against crime. No, it's just criminal justice. It's an oxymoron. Black woman who never been arrested before was born in Mobile but grew up in Minnesota. Genocide is happening. We're being murdered in the streets, Pooh said, while she was being arrested, her voice muffled by a mask. Now, this story, I just have to do the summary because I don't have the time to go through it all, is how they're utilizing this, an interesting statement they make, that because that car was on an off-ramp of the highway, or an on-ramp, it was a vessel in commerce subject to the congressional power to that should not be violated, and they had federal authority because that on-ramp was a vessel of commerce. What made the criminal the crime federal, not local and state like it normally would have been, was prosecutors later said was the highway on-ramp was a vessel of interstate commerce. Well, I'm going to suggest something to you. Your body is a vessel in interstate commerce. We understood that, but when Clinton started using, not the wife, the husband, using the term human capital. I find it interesting they didn't say that. They can't let in on this thing, but about everything that affects commerce is in commerce anyway. But this is an interesting insight about what they're doing, what the feds do to grab jurisdiction from what otherwise would have been a local state type of a problem that to resolve in the state, that you're subject by whatever they want to fabricate. As we saw in the murder memo, you can be identified without any due process for killing, and that's okay. This is a continuation of this. The point here is that they're not the domestic extremism that was claimed to be after the white extremists, so-called, that they've been telling you about and focusing on, and what I think the January 6th people are now suffering, is also being used in the way they re-manipulate this law to go after the black people, in other words, anyone, and what the government will do in order to make that stick. So what I've told you before about watch out the three fingers pointing back. When we were pointing out at countries and saying they're terroristic, there was three fingers pointing back. Is this story coming now on us at the same time as they started the COVID and the oppression and the medical martial law now coming to a potential isolation center near you where the healthy are actually, for their protection, going to be constrained, confined like animals till they get what the government has caused. And blamed for that as well. So this story is telling us it's coming back, folks. I don't know what more to say. And none of you are safe. If you want to think that all the news and propaganda was saying, oh, they're going at the white extremist identities crowd, and you think that was the fact, no, they've been working under the scenes all this time in order to figure out ways to go after everyone. And the least amongst you will be the most vulnerable anyway. And I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about against the federal oppressor, which to my mind has not been stopped since Lincoln. And I've gone through all that reading to show you, yeah, they messed with Texas too. They didn't stop that. So we move on, and here the fingers pointing back at domestic terrorism now is highlighted as they move from the terrorism they caused in Afghanistan. DHS secret terror watch lists with nearly 2 million people on it, exposed online with no password, a story that's coming again to remind us, and I don't know, again, I think this is the 9/11 lead-up to traumatize you some more, to remind you of a terror thing that went on. It's all a fraud. We lost over there in Afghanistan because we had no cause. We went up against the people that were stronger than I think Americans are to resist. And I think that's another object lesson to see that it can be done against the biggest oppressor in the world. They can be defeated, but you have to do what they did. And that's going to be on us if we don't figure out how to stop this. That this terrorist says, oh, there's a bunch of terrorists. The interesting thing was how many terrorists the government have created out of all y'all. And that list was for getting on no-fly list, to be on a no-fly list, to be determined of terrorists without due process and without notice to you. Lots of people want to know, was I on that? Not me. Yeah, I do too, but the point was, they want to know if the list is now public because it was leaked. Where is that list, and was I put on it? Everybody I'm looking at that are responding to this story want to know, was I on it? And if you think you've been on it, you probably were. I've already told you that one of my colleagues, because we went up against the government, and the FBI came after us, and that's where it starts. The FBI is the culprit here. The FBI came after him and confronted him about some things that the Jefferson Mining District had promoted and stated in a comment. And they wanted to threaten him, and we, again, have a word in our mouth. And he went to go meet them, and he told them they tried to get him to agree that he was some kind of a criminal. And he showed them that we had the law on our side, and they walked away and never bothered him. He subsequently could not get on an airplane and go anywhere. So now he travels by car. So if you don't think it's that very hard to get on the list. That's all it takes is to annoy somebody that you have a knowledge in you that actually says they don't have an authority. And so this list is very important. And this list, I would like to know where it is. I'd like to see who's on it. I'd like to see just generally who's on it. If I don't know if I have the time to go through 2 million entries, but there's 2 million of us that are deemed to be not able to live the life with privilege to travel. Showing us that segregation happened a long time before the COVID, and it's just now a matter of course. Now, I think anybody that can get a hold of that list and find their name on it might actually have a cause to go after and start being somebody that shows an example of that. You're not going to take that unrighteous designation that contravenes rights that the government had no way to infringe where they cannot show an actual emergency. It's no different than the COVID fraud emergency. It's a fraud vitiates all of that. And the burden is on them, the government. And if you set it up right, you have a better chance than if you don't set it up right. As I've been trying to guide people, and I wish I had answers for everybody, but I don't know. But while I said that, my email got way backed up when I wasn't online. So I apologize for not getting back to everybody. I'm a couple weeks behind now and trying to work through as I can to you that sent me sent me your information. I've got to get back to that. But moving on here, finally now, again, the finger's pointing back. If it wasn't enough, you don't want to hear it behind the woodshed ahead of time. You're seeing it unfold the way you've been told, is the Twitter I send out, behind the woodshed. You're seeing it unfold the way you've been told. We finally get the experts that know gets the notoriety. As I look at throughout my life, I will never, ever be anybody of any, if you will, stature. Whatever I do, it's always going to be pushing a noodle uphill and to be condemned for even that effort. And that's okay somehow. I'm realizing that's okay. My job is to keep talking to people, witnessing to people about what is there, that they're not helpless, that we can stand up against it and hope someone listens and hope someone acts to defend themselves. But renowned, if you didn't listen behind the woodshed, didn't listen that I said it was Operation Hindsight 2020, the second test to lock the screws down tighter on your prison. A renowned propaganda expert now will tell us, worst is still to come in a global psyop if people don't rise up and resist. Okay, there it is, folks. Operation Hindsight 2020. I told you in 2010. My point about telling you that is more to say this is straight up easy to see coming at us. Now, we should have coagulated as a big old blood clot against the governmental oppressor and kill it immediately. And we're not. Then it takes a year and a half later, some renowned propaganda expert finally sees it, folks. Finally sees we're in a psyop, a global psyop. I mean, I want to laugh. Do I cry or laugh? Anyway, so a little bit. Here we'll read a little bit. Any student of military history will tell you wars don't just happen. No. Okay. I mean, how much am I going to read my own words here? They always are foreshadowed by a propaganda operation intended to soften up the target, wear people down, weaken their resolve to fight. That's where it is. And I don't want to call this a fight either. These are criminals. You are not doing an actual fight. Don't get into the war mentality that is being pushed on you. This is stopping oppression. This is stopping criminals. This is, to my mind, I can't get away at all. I don't have to. I've got a default judgment in a court, a federal court, that was mishandled, self-evident. Showing the veracity of the complaint in equity, that the Bar Association is operating in treason. They're not operating in good character, ever. I don't need to see more. We said that was making war on the laws of the United States and the laws of the state in that case. That's just another way to say treason. They defaulted out, folks. I don't need a political expert, a propaganda expert, coming 2 years late to tell me We're in a world of hurt, and until we figure out who the enemy really is in the gates and figure out ways to start to defeat it, even if ignoring it somehow, which you're not going to when they come knocking on your door with the COVID fraud, but at any rate, figure out amongst us how we're all going to do it and do it in unison. We're going to be walking into the propaganda operation that wears us down is that thing that is already working against us. And it takes away your resolve to the fight. And the point about the fight is really to stop the oppressor against you. It's your job. It's your duty. Unless you want to be oppressed. It's that simple. You can't, there's not a sit back place here on this one. The only question becomes, how are you going to address what comes against you, particularly where you are? Because seemingly, for as singular as the attacks are, they seem to hit us in different ways. And in my observation and experience with people, they all always handle it not quite so well. They just don't handle it right. And I agree with part of it. You don't want to do that because you just want to be left alone. I get that. This is not that fight anymore. They're going over to here. They always foreshadowed by a propaganda operation intended to resolve to take your resolve to fight. The most successful operations come down to this simple strategy: identify your enemy, segregate, isolate, then annihilate. Now look at how they're piecing us apart with the COVID as we start hearing the stories to come on the tabs that they're building green zones for those of us that are healthy, blaming us on the one hand and protecting us on the other. So magnanimous is their benefice. This gentleman, Pierce Robinson, the expert propaganda expert who comes a year and a half later to tell you all it's a global psyop. Fascinating, folks. I just read this stuff. I have to chuckle just a little bit. Co-director of the Organization for Propaganda Studies, where was he all these years? Is an internationally recognized expert on propaganda, but not just any propaganda. His focus is on conflict and war and the role of propaganda within that framework. He is also an associate researcher with the Working Group of Propaganda and the 9/11 War on Terror and has served as an advisor to NATO leaders. See, they got to put the punch in. It's about 9/11 right there. And he's been there the whole time. Where has he been? Well, this, again, calls up the idea. This is an insider coming to give the notice. This is what's going on to you. This is what's happening. He's agreed with it the whole time. And he comes a year and a half late to kind of let you know they're about ready to lock it all down. And we hear this now, moving on. Army National Guard recruits for internment and resettlement specialists. Public documents layout procedure for civilian internees. The Army National Guard, you understand that's in your states, folks. The same ones that they're rolling out at Operation Warp Speed and rolling out to come knocking on your doors in certain spaces at this time in order to give you information about whether you know about the safety of the jab and that you can get one that's available. The Army National Guard is actively recruiting for a job position called internment resettlement specialist. People as young as 17 years are eligible for the gig, which includes search restraint and some of the skills you'll learn, according to the Army National Guard job posting with the job location listed in Washington, D.C., the district, not a state. So the military of the states is back in your, through the district, back in your states as an occupier. People don't figure this out. Where's the adjutant general in all this protecting you? So they must be a part of it, folks. There's so many levels of this analysis that can be done just on the top of your head to show you that we are in a bad way already, and yet it's so simple to stop. There's many more of us. If we only had, if you will, the hive mind of resistance to oppression, then I'll stop here. To me, these jobs are already there. If you go look around, in fact, I'm not sure if I'll remember to say some of these. When I get to the MGT 433 notice, these plans have been in place since 2013. They've had recruitments for this for a long time. And so I've got to also be careful not to highlight things way out of proportion that have already been going on that we just, as a society, miss completely. These people that were pointing the finger at the terrorists abroad actually focusing on you in the future with the three pointing back, they've been working on this since 9/11. And you heard that in the last story. They're going to keep punching that trauma-based condition to try and remind you there's terrorists out there, not realizing that you've been focused on by these people that are causing it against you. The self-inflicted wound. I keep talking about all this stuff over and over. And I just wonder, I really wonder sometimes, why are people not listening? Why are people listening elsewhere? Why are people not responding? Why are they not, when they respond, they're responding correctly? And I say that based on some experience of what might be correct. Why aren't we protecting ourselves? Why do we adopt ideas that this thing too shall pass? Oh, we've seen this before. Oh, it'll eventually correct itself. Yeah, it eventually corrects itself, and lots of bloodshed and people dying and lives lost and maimed. And this time I think they're planning for it. They want you gone. So this rises up. They got these internment. Inside the mentality of this government they claim to represent you, we have this story. If you don't think this gets really nuts and that there is a mentality that means to harm people that don't believe their way, U.S. House candidate Steve Cox, quote, "We should be allowed to shoot," close quote, "anti-vaxxer citizens." We should be allowed to shoot. Well, the military is allowed to shoot, and so are the police, all on a whim, as long as they feared for their lives. Remember how tenuous that safety is? And if you try to defend yourself, well, I just say don't try to defend yourself. There's no winning position there. Just hope you survive it. Have something to dissuade them from going to that. I've told you techniques to do that. I've actually been in the condition a couple times with myself. It's not fun. You don't know what the kind of animal you're dealing with that thinks they have an authority, and then they get afraid because they're an inferior mentality, they haven't figured it out. They got chosen because of that. Remember, I haven't said this for a long time, the Supreme Court in many cases says you can be too smart and too capable to be a cop. That's not my opinion. So if someone in the House, a candidate, wants to be able to shoot people because they don't believe like him, I don't understand. They throw this anti-vaxxer comment out. This has nothing to do with being an anti-vaxxer because it's fraud we're addressing. You're, as I said, entering into the broadcast, you are not an anti-anything. Well, maybe anti-fraud. Relative to what they believe is going on, it's fraud. So there's not being resistant to anything there. And so these labels keep being thrown out, and there's a mentality that says, if you don't believe like me, I should be able to shoot you. Now, that guy's probably not going to do a thing about that, but someone listening to him that believes might come up and shoot you. And this is the other problem. Moving on here to go on and on and on about all this stuff, what we now having to watch out for. You never know now. You just keep looking around. And until some resistance comes up in the right ways to start making inroads, maybe like this professor, even though they agreed to SARS-CoV-2 causing COVID, happened to be a law professor, was able to do it with the help of a law attorney group. They were able to make an agreement with the university that he doesn't have to get vaccinated because there's actually a way to show that you have a natural immune system that's superior to whatever the government's coming up with. Again, arbitrary and capricious relative to the need and relative to your capacity to stop it, your susceptibility, as I talked about. This story coming up now, and I have to say, when I tried to get this website up a couple of times, it came back as a suspended account. Now we're getting it up at thewatchtowers.org where I get the report. I'm reading it now. Everyone who plans on using phone, computer, tablet, social media, quote, social media, printing press, radio, etc., should be made aware of this, everyone, via the Department of Homeland Security, quote, "We're in this together. Disinformation stops with you." As we're coming back now, as Afghanistan fell, the facade of interest for the United States and the geopolitical, whatever they were doing there, falls. I think the target was here. Keep that time running to make you believe there was a real terrorism that wasn't the government. They've been focused on you. Now they're coming out all at the same time now. I find always interesting how it comes as a big package. They're imploring you to stop disinformation. They're getting the people around you to be finks, tattletale on you, false witness, based on this false situation, if you don't think the enemy is up around us and they know how to run propaganda. The Department of Homeland Security says, we're in this together, disinformation stops with you. And this is the, boy, just collaborator type comments come from, you know, during wartime. If you didn't think that we were not in a war, this is here in your community. This is actually not something new either for us. Community Watch was an international program put in your counties, in your cities, in order it started this mentality that you needed to look out around and be a busybody, apparently, to tattle, see something, say something. And then those of us that saw started to see the government say, well, but the government's the problem, and we see something and we're saying something, you put on a watch list, should have told you what was going on, what the real target was. I read these titles. I think I don't need to spend so much time reading the story. If you're interested, go to the blogcast or get the link. I put a ton of hours now getting your links, even though I just give you the links. It's just so much reading. You need to get a basis for what's going on. You need to see how this is rolling out, because you are going to be blindsided if you don't understand how it works out. As they are coming here, we're in this together. Disinformation stops with you. There was a report that I was sent a month ago, and I just haven't got to the tab. I'm going to get to it now. It seems to be making a lot of noise this week. The extension of this very link is now making it through the network of information about people. And my problem with some of this is, again, it gets sensationalized, and we miss the points of it all, and really what to look for and look out for. MGT 433, Isolation and Quarantine for Rural Communities, was a link I got a month ago. This is now coming up, and I had some other links we'll get to from the CDC regarding green zones that are now what, if you will, the conspiracy theorists were saying you're going to get locked up and put away. This is the formulation of the organization of implementation for all this, and they've been training on this. This is one of the 40, MG 433. There's others prior with lesser numbers. They've been going on for a long time, over a decade, and isolation is one of the things that have always been involved relative to this condition. They are focusing on rural domestic preparedness, but it's actually the implementation of the program in rural areas, because that, apparently to me, and we see this when we try to fight the incursions of the urban against the rural, is that the urban people, the country folk, on the land, the country folk, are a threat. Now, I don't understand how, if I'm a mile or half a mile or even a couple properties away from somebody, because we don't live and stack them and pack them in the country, how we're a threat to anybody in a public health setting is beyond me to understand. But this is the other fraud. But here we have a link that came to me a month ago, but there's lots of stories now this week about it. The 8-hour instructor-led course is designed to provide the necessary knowledge to begin planning in situations requiring the isolation and quarantine of a large portion of a local rural population. This training will provide public and private sector emergency managers, community policymakers, public health, and public safety personnel with the general knowledge necessary to begin planning with, therefore, situations require the isolation and quarantine of a large portion of the local rural population. A rural community's ability to collectively respond to an emergency requiring isolation and quarantine is not only essential to be minimizing the negative impacts to the community at risk, but also to minimize the long-term negative economic and health effects on the human American public as a whole. Go back and see, the community at risk is their community, the oppressor's community. The negative impact is the threat that you pose when you say, we're not going to fund that. We don't want that direction to go. We're not going to put money into that. We're not going to accept money. Again, the COVID-19 is a big bribe system that the counties were taking bribes on in order to continue. because it wasn't based in public health. And everything I've been saying about how you're going to have to understand the public health laws to counter this is right on the front of this whole thing. And when you go through this training, you'll see that they have to make regard for lawful, there's legal requirements, and we get to the document that comes from this, isolation and quarantine. You need to get this document, you need to read through it, it's only 11 pages, and they'll explain what they're going to be doing. And they're going to explain that talking about certain things, and certain things are important, and those things that are important, you're going to need to know because that's your right to speak, because you won't have much. And when you understand what I've been saying about the habeas corpus, when I read, I guess it's after I read this document, so I'm really going to have to put one of those documents together, because that is going to be in the legal hole they have to make regard for. Even though, for the most of you would say, well, where are they going to send that? Well, I don't know. If you say nothing, then you've agreed. And if you look at what these isolation areas are, they say they make a separation between the people they're bringing in that are symptomatic versus the healthy people that they have no clue about, which is a violation under quarantine statutes. They can't quarantine like this. And if you know that, you have a thing to say. If people around you know that and are free will, free-minded, they can help. You can help each other. This is a very important document that I tracked down through looking at the MGT-433 link. I put it back a ways because it wasn't, I didn't want to get into all of that part last month. But now that it's making a lot of noise, I want people that listen to me to know it's not sensational. This is a matter of fact, point by point methodology that you need to know, you can interject yourself within, because there's still due process provisions made. And this talks, and it's very interesting to me, this is what I was talking to you before, they do not talk about SARS-CoV-2 in this document. They do not talk about any of these novel things. They talk about pandemic influenza. In fact, quickly, a colleague of mine did a study on some of the numbers at CDC, found out when you take away the pneumonia and influenza numbers from the COVID numbers, there are very little what they contribute to flu symptoms in COVID. Everything has been influenza and pneumonia. Okay, so that proved again, and we got people are coming to the realization they were pulling from the flu numbers the whole time. I've told you how they did it. The PCR was done, and we found out just recently, and I think, I don't know if this is the tabs I'm going to have for you, that they understand now that it couldn't differentiate between influenza and so-called SARS-CoV-2, which was completely chemical. It's not a virus at all, folks. I have no information that says this was viral. And so we have a document here that tells you how they're going to handle you if you get there. It tells you what it's about. It shows you, and what's more insidious is how they go about and justify taking people that are healthy and saying that they're protecting them. How they're going to a rural environment to compress and consolidate people, and that's healthier than you living a field away from somebody else. I haven't a clue, but this is the insanity. When you have people in power that want to shoot other people that don't believe in them, I don't know what future you think you're walking into with those people in power. They're already there is the point. You don't understand it. The mentality is already there. They're here to help you. If that means they need to shoot you to save three other people they think that they're helping, then that's going to be good enough. In this information, I'm going to go through some really quickly points. I can't go find them through, but I took a couple notes. Under planning assumptions, again, these are assumptions. These aren't even factual findings. And this is what you're going to find when we get to the CDC stuff relative to their green zone and their epidemiological stuff that all this is based on. This is where you're finding out it's not about reality, who's sick. It's about the statistics they create by case, that fraudulent definition of case and how they handle it, the foreign imposition of the term case and how they handle it, not by the medical report process that goes through the due process required underneath the public health laws that the legislature has already designated. And this is where you have to understand how they're taking you out this way Because they repeatedly say that there's legal things that they have to provide for you. They won't tell you what they are, and they have to provide some help. And there's another in. You would start demanding that if you get rounded up somehow to save you. You better have this stuff in your mind and have to start interjecting and asserting your rights to do things. And don't stop. Be the example. Try to get other people. If you are one that knows it, this is one thing that a couple times I've been thrown in jail, they hated me because I was just walking around talking to people saying, well, did you want to sell? They would come to me. I was writing paperwork. I'm doing my paperwork to fight them. While I'm all locked up, I'm doing what I can to help protect myself. People would watch what I was doing. They'd want to know what I was doing. Then pretty soon I'm in a conversation. So they have a question. They have a problem. I said, well, did you try this? Did you try that? Pretty soon I've got about 5 or 8 guys writing stuff up and sending it through the system. Now the jail has to handle all that. And so I found out that they don't like people that have any kind of knowledge. And in this case, they have to watch out about, you have mental health that you can have and your health and all this other stuff. You can use, when they start to isolate you further, you can use that as a complaint as well. And those on the outside can use, you have the right of habeas corpus to get someone out that's not justly done. And the professor case that we might get to, hopefully here, will explain that there's some things you can say, flips the burden on them. Like I've been said, like the habeas corpus does. It flips it back on the government, but it does it to a law. There's a law principle, law doctrine that the Supreme Court has settled out that causes the burden to be on the government. Additionally, which is why I keep saying, keep building your fallback positions or build up your fortifications before we get here. But in-depth analysis of the presumptions are in-depth analysis of pandemic influenza and plague scenarios. It's nothing to do with SARS-CoV-2. Just influenza and plague. Okay? So if you're not in that, then they start putting these rules on you, maybe the assumptions were wrong too, as an insight. It goes through. Insulation and quarantine deal specifically with infectious diseases. I look at that and say, okay, if it's specifically infectious diseases and we're dealing with a chemical attack and you can't prove otherwise, maybe you've got no jurisdiction. You go by I'm looking at their plan of how they're going to handle it, and I'm finding weaknesses, Achilles heels, that I know sit there, that if you knew they were there and you had read this, it would come to your mind to say, maybe before they take you. Isolation and quarantine deals specifically with separation of individuals rather than prohibition of structures. They're separating individuals, but under state law, they can only separate individuals that are shown to be an infectious principle. And if you're not that, they don't have a jurisdiction, and what they're doing is fraud and, again, tyranny, oppression. I don't expect a dumb cop to know that. But you can have as a say and a piece, put it on a piece of paper. Then you complain too that you're put at a disability for your legal rights because of what they've done without cause. The capability goes on, the capability refinement addresses community separation and not hospitalization patients. That is your internment camp. The people that are hospitalized are actually the ones they've caused to be so sick that they have to go to the hospital. Not you that's healthy. Recognition and assessment of exposure to an illness is an epidemiological function. I found this fascinating. It has nothing to do, when you're going to, we'll go through this real quickly, has nothing to do with the reality of an infectious disease existence. Excuse me, infectious agent. See, I made that mistake. Disease is symptoms. Infectious disease as both of them. What you're interested in is what the communicable agent is. In this case, it's a SARS-CoV-2 is a chemical weapon, not a natural viral vector, a condition. But so what is this epidemiological word? And we're going to find what I've been telling you. I have to chuckle sometimes. I've been telling you about all this. It's relative to risk management and bean counting and cooking the books. And you're going to hear that hopefully right now. This whole thing turns on epidemiological function as a science-based approach, which is what they're covering. It's scientism that they promote as being science, objective basis. And that is the fraud. Epidemiological Epidemiology is a scientific discipline with sound methods of scientific inquiry at its foundation. Sounds pretty high-minded and objective, doesn't it? Epidemiology is a data-driven and relies on a systemic and unbiased approach to the collection, analysis, and interpretation of data. Did you hear the three things of SMART right there? I hope some of you did. Collection, analysis, and interpretation is the SMART system. It's all based in data, cooking the books, based in how they define the data in collection and how they'll interpret it. They say unbiased. That's a fraud. You're going to have to research on how that is so you have that word in your mouth. Section 1, right from the CDC paperwork. Do I get to go there right now? Is this in the principles? I think so. So we go right to the CDC website, and we see Principles of Epidemiology, Lesson 1. Definition of epidemiology. Listen carefully, folks. Epidemiology is the study of the distribution of determinants of health-related states or events in specified populations and the application of this study to the control of health problems. However, epidemiology also draws on methods from other scientific fields. Are you hearing a bunch of smart stuff here, folks? Again, control, sustainability. Multidisciplinary. Draws from other scientific fields, making it sound like it's actually more authoritative. Other scientific fields, including biostatistics and informatics. Have you heard those terms talked behind the woodshed? Biostatistics, cooking the books, and informatics, propaganda, with biologic, economic, social, and behavioral sciences. Are those sciences or just the future we want? This is sustainability in more terms than maybe people would understand. This is epidemiology. Have you heard yet, I'm going to get to the punchline again, have you heard yet any talk about an infectious agent? Remember, I premise this by saying it all turns, and they say in the document, I don't know if I'm going to even find it again, it all turns on the definition of case. Has nothing to do with infectious agent. Nothing. It's never, ever reality. This is risk management. You heard about health management, health emergency management, like fire management. We manage the fire to keep going. We don't suppress it. We don't actually prevent it, which is the duty underneath state law. This is the foreign imposition. So, biologic, economic, social, and behavioral sciences. Behavioral? Behavioral, folks? For a communicable disease? What does that have to do with preventing the communicable disease, the infectious agent giving the symptoms? First, it goes on, epidemiology is a quantitative discipline that relies on a working knowledge of probability, statistics, and sound research methods. Cooking the books. Best science is this best accounting principles. Second, epidemiology is a... Okay, I just added that. I should tell you that I'm not reading when I interject, huh? Well, at any rate. Probability, statistics, and sound research methods. Sounds high-minded and it's like objective. It's not. It's all cooking the books here. That's all they're interested. Did you hear infectious agent there? No. Nothing. Did you hear how the science behind how they find that would work? No. Nothing. It's strictly epidemiological functions that are being working here, not actually the infectious principle. Second, epidemiology is a method of causal reasoning based on developing and testing hypotheses grounded in such scientific fields as biology, behavioral sciences, physics, and ergonomics to explain health-related behaviors, states, and events. Does that sound like anything to do with an infectious agent? Or is this cooking the books, learning how to cook the books, showing that this is not science at all, and this is really one big propaganda system? You really need to think about what the... Lots of words. It makes no sense when you actually read about what they're talking about relative to what they're supposed to be talking about. Well, when you understand that sustainability is those things, and looks at those things, and gets the data the way they say and analyzes it that way, you're in the future we want, and then that we is not you, it's what they are doing. And they don't care that they commit fraud to accomplish their goals. What, the ends justifies the means? Is that what that is? So right here we see when we understand the first document talking about isolation is based on this epidemiological function, and you read that statement, this is all about data, and it's all about statistical manipulation, and what have they done between so-called COVID-19 symptoms and the loss of influenza in the year 2020? Is this method, this principle, they call it, and that's supposed to be science and best science. And they will say that to a judge. And the judge will smile and agree. Why? Because we have another report. I don't know if I've got it up, but the judge is there. Oh, yeah, I'll get to it eventually, hopefully. The judge says he's just there to make sure that society is safe when he has someone before him that needs to go to jail, and he has the right to order that one to get a vaccine because it keeps people safe. Based on, he's not an expert, but these people are. He's just doing his job. Keeping you safe. It's so contorted, it's like mind-bogglingly contorted, but it's all fraud, so it's easy to cut through once you start seeing it. Coronavirus disease 2019 consideration, plan to identify additional resource and outlay supply chain mechanisms for support green zones. These documents have been before we were hearing about the rural compound, the settlement center, the internship things that they're going to be building. This is already a plan in the CDC structure. The implementation of operation of green zones consistent with what? Green religion, correct? As I've been saying the whole time, as we can see through the documentation, sustainability is thick right here. All these companies, all these agencies are in it. Again, remember, the Environmental Protection Agency is one of the pillars of a foreign implementation to take down your country. Its whole existence is to impart the one environmental pillar of the United Nations Sustainable Development Plan. The transformation of your society through that supposed benevolent need. Explanation. The implementation and operation of green zones requires strong coordination among several sectors, which may require substantial additional resources. So they're telling you they have a couple of Achilles heels. They have a couple of places you can attack if you knew what this was. I'm not going to go through all of it, but I just point out, as you read, you can see that they have a problem, and you can also tell what they're going to target against you, which you need to fortify. Supplies and staff to maintain these spaces. This is going to come up here in the Houston problem here pretty soon in this next story. I get there. Shelters, IPC, water sanitation and hygiene, non-food items, bed linens, psychosocial support, monitor. So this is going to have people in there to kind of keep you gaslighted while you're inside. So you have to have a strong mind about what you're up against and what you're really having to do. Focus in on what you have to do. And don't let that be persuaded out of you. Monitors, supervisors, caretakers, attendants, risk communication, and community engagement, security. Community engagement is getting all your leaders to agree with their oppression and their overthrow. Security for them. Considering global reductions in commodity shortages, movement restrictions, border closures, and decreased trucking and flights. You think that's to the benefit. They're doing that as a constraint. They're doing that to keep track of that it's going to plan to interfere with all that. And so this comes underneath this plan. It's a comprehensive view of these green zones that are put in place, that are in the news now, that have been in the news here, I mean, for a long time, that are in the documentations. They explain what all this is. The importance that I want you to know, if you read the documents, you see what they're doing, you see where they're going, you see partly what I see that I can tell you before it happens, that it's coming or being here, whether or not I can predict exactly how. You can see it generally available and just wonder when they take care of it. they deem this to be a shielding approach. Remember the assumptions and remember the epidemiological statistical fraud they get to use in order to come against you. Your only defense, I think, is to focus in on what the state requires for before they can get jurisdiction to do any of this, as I've been discussing over a year now, well over. The habeas corpus is going to be one of the documents that you're going to need to understand as the shortest form of protection, well, protection that it can be. At least you give yourself a defense that flips the burden and you don't give up on it. And you don't ever give up on that. And that's going to be the distinction, I think, in lots of it. What is the shielding approach? The shielding approach aims to reduce the number of severe COVID-19 cases by limiting contact between individuals at higher risk of developing the severe disease. High risk is high risk in quotes, and the general population, low risk. High-risk individuals can be temporarily relocated to safe or green zones established at the household, neighborhood, or camp sector and community level depending on the context and setting. That's, for those of you listening, is how you will help to defend yourself against being removed. You can show where your house is sufficient, and if you have to kind of give ground to something while you're fighting the jurisdictional aspect, they would have to show that you weren't safe in your own home. You have to understand how this works, how this stepwise devolved, and they know that. And if you have if you don't have a statement, you want to, you don't care, they move this to the end step really quickly. And the other side of that, as soon as you assert that point, you're likely going to see a little bit more constraint or something against you, which you then turn around and use as the disability and oppression I talked to you again. That's a retaliation. So we could read all these definitions. We can go through this and read it. You need to read the documents to see what they're planning, whether or not you run into it. Because what looks like it's becoming up, and likely it may be in a more urbanized or suburbanized area, will be just a surprise. It'll just show up. And you're going to probably have to have the right words in your mouth right now, or some pieces. Like I said, the bag of law. Have your bag of law ready to go. And if I didn't think this was a possibility, I wouldn't even be suggesting it. Why waste your time? But this is something that I can't... It just keeps pressing. It's like funneling right down to this very thing. And so we have the shielding approach is the green zone, is these internment camps, is this protection that are giving to the healthy. They say the low risk is the general population because that's the vaccinated they are promoting is doing something good. In fact, those are the shedders. And there's more evidence coming out of that. I guess I got to move on. I mean, it's on and on and on here. Shock, executive order, green lights, quarantines, and voluntary commitment amid COVID orders. Where do you think they got that idea, folks? See, this is already in place and in plan. And guess where that happens? Right in Tennessee. Fascinating. And the problem is here, most people don't understand how it's supposed to roll out. They're just implementing it. An executive order signed quietly in the Tennessee's Republican governor, if you thought there was the Republicans are helping you. Nope. They're all in on it. They're all criminals. They're all occupiers. They take on a new mantle when they get over to democracy in the district. Then they abandon the Republican form representative government. Yeah, an executive order signed quietly to Tennessee Republican governors is troubling some Americans as it greenlights the National Guard and State Guard to implement quarantines and involuntary commitment of citizens, quote, in connection with certain health care and emergency services operations, close quote, with the governor specifically concerned about an increase in COVID-19 cases. COVID-19 is symptoms. Now we're going to need more information about how those symptoms, and my colleague did some research relative to the numbers showing that when you apply the pneumonia and the influenza and a couple of other respiratory things together that the CDC will tell you when you read their charts, COVID really doesn't really exist much. It's like it's kind of like this lingering thing. It's just some symptoms they haven't quite got a handle on. So you're going to have that proof because you want to be able to show at least a presentation of that there is a fraud afoot. You have countering information when you walk in, when you say that I'm being unlawfully restrained of my liberty without warrant of law under color of law. under color of the public health emergency. That's fraud. Anyway, so this is already signed. Again, look who's involved. The report says, as I entered into the broadcast, the National Guard, looking for the people to recruit to do this very thing. 17-year-old, folks. 17-year-old going to make a decision on this, they say. Yeah, uh-huh. How experiential is that one in the world to be dictating your life? It is a wonder to me that we continue to read this stuff and will not move against it hardly at all. And my experience is we don't, for the most part, people don't even know where to begin, as I said in the chat room this morning. It's amazing. I don't know how we had a, you know, we all come out of school, and it's not that I'm saying, oh, they didn't teach you. No, they taught us just enough. What we tended to lose was the reality that when they were telling us they were, well, that there would be liars in chief, there would be liars in positions, that those people being underneath a different mindset of you, having the idea that they should shoot you, be able to shoot you if you don't believe in them, the psychopaths in the world, the sociopaths, we didn't believe that those people actually worked into positions that somehow the system protected us because of its protections. That was all a lie. Or we put ourselves to sleep wanting to believe that was the truth. It's now coming to a head here, and I've been offering what you're going to have to now know, that we really don't know. We really don't quite get how to begin this process. But here we have an executive order is being signed, and this says quietly, in a state that's already been put on notice, they were in fraud, and the judiciary covered it up at this point. All the same time, while we're having other court cases show and expose that there's some severe problems with all of this thing, whether or not they actually name the fraud and outlaw the emergency declared. And part of that is what I've pointed out to you, that no one is actually identifying the fraud. They want to go with the fact that it is doing the COVID-19 something to do something. CDC records are showing it's really just this mark on a piece of paper that has no basis whatsoever. The numbers are so minuscule, it's like shouldn't even be, you wonder why it's even sitting there. Now, moving in, and as this thing moves on us, this rollout of the military on us and the National Guard and the thought and the 9/11 coincidence and all this other stuff, we have, together with the DHS, the terror list being put out there to tell you how many terrorists are around you, that they've created, it's another cook in the book, fabricated up without due process. No one even follows in on this. But here we have now, coming into that this week, this reminder to traumatize you some more, or remind you, or put the niggling of the thought in your brain, that we have extreme terrorists that these federales are going to have to control and use your state authorities to do so. D.C. and New York hit with bomb scares within a week of DHS threat bulletin. Remember the drills, right, folks? Multiple mainstream journalists spread fake news based on doctored video to suggest, oh boy, I did it again. Let me go back over. Sometimes I do this and it gives me the wrong story on the headline, and I haven't figured that out. Let me go back and pick it up this way. Less than a week after the Department of Homeland Security issued a bulletin saying the anti-government extremists angry at COVID measures could be preparing attacks, D.C. and New York were both hit with bomb scares. Again, the word scares is important. It's trauma-based. They want to scare you. It's bombing, the 9/11. It's all coming back. I told you this was part of the mechanism, the propaganda, to keep your head down and keep you thinking that someone's doing the right work for you. In fact, these are the self-inflicted wound imposers. They're causing their own problem. They're predicting it, and then they cause it, and you think they're the hero. And if you don't think they're the hero, then you're not stepping up, and they see that you're not stepping up in any proper way or in any number whatsoever. And I don't know what to say about that. There's nothing I can do to solve that. There's nothing I can do to change that part. And all this whole thing is built on a story. And I ran across, I was going to talk about last week, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, an interesting insight, a very creative way to discuss the problem of what we're up against from the perspective of the element that is actually at the bottom of this whole thing that feeds this whole scare tactic that we're dealing with COVID. And it's the story called Confessions of an Engineered Nanoparticle. And I just think it's creative enough and it's on point enough that I wanted to incorporate this for people to read. I thought the guy did a very good job at discussing this whole thing from the perspective of the nanoparticle. The, if you will, the graphene oxide, the particles that they're putting into these novel chemical elements inside the jab. And he says right at the beginning, this is my story on how I often, mistaken as a virus, it seems to, at an appropriate time to speak, I am not a naturally occurring nanoparticle, i.e. produced by cosmic dust, volcanic activity, fires, forest fires, iron mining, wind erosion, or solar energy. I am synthesized for nanobio interface projects that are often kept secret from civilians. I am called an engineered nanoparticle, or ENP. I am not produced by gain-of-function virus research projects. However, it may help to review that work and its implications in some instances. I may cause certain conditions that can be misattributed to viruses, but are instead novel forms of cytotoxicity produced by oxidative stress from ENPs, which I call nanobiocytotoxicosis. I don't think I'm going to get this one. Any rate, very creative story, but on point of the truth. It's like a fiction that tells you the truth. I'm going to throw that in there. I appreciate what the guy did, what this author did with this story. And it goes through the story of what you're looking at. This is not a virus. This is the thing. The other thing I focused on, he agrees with his analysis. This is a chemical. This is constructed chemistry. And if you understand this, how this works, you'll realize anybody who wants to talk to you about anything related to an infectious agent regarding a viral condition is telling you a fraud, is promoting a fraud. They can't prove it's a biology. Forget the PCR test. They can't prove it's actually a biological viral vector. In the same vein, we out the story of the fiction. Someone outs in Germany, apparently a German news or a newspaper, apologizes for pushing COVID lockdown hysteria and harming society. I hope this is true. I hope the German people heard this. There's a story, you can get the video to listen to it yourself. I don't know German, so I had to go to the subtitles. I'm accepting that it's a legitimate translation, but they go through and they are telling the young ones there that they're sorry for promoting this fraud to them, scaring them of child abuse. They're at least attempting to be the example, a media company being an example to expose the wrong. And again, until more people step up and do it the way they feel they can to the whomever needs to hear it. And again, I think that's on the receiver side. They have to be willing to hear it. Or you can interact when someone accuses you. You can defend yourself with the things you need to say incorrectly, not as argument, just factual laid it out. First of all, you start about, start out with a practicing law without a license or not being your own doctor. And the doctor being the exclusive agent you don't know that one who's attacking you is any of those things. You get him off foot a little bit. And then you could go in, and if you were a doctor and you were this, you would have said this, this, and this, realizing that your impositions are incorrect. And you would lay out all your objective basis in a dialogue as one method to try and talk to people. Sometimes you're not going to talk to people who don't want to hear, though, so you don't hang around. They're dangerous. They want to shoot you if you don't believe what they say. So German newspaper media is apologizing to the kids, the little goats, the little ones that are being just abused, terribly abused. As we hear, UK scientists back COVID boosters as study finds post-jab falls in antibodies. So here they have the self-inflicted wound. They knew this was going to be requiring the boosters because they were going to claim that falls in antibodies. They can't even test for that, though. And it isn't superior than your own body, your own defense mechanisms that may build antibodies that may already have them, folks, because if your body fights the common cold, you likely have what it takes already. Nobody's testing that. I've criticized that way early on. If they really wanted to check you out, they would be finding the test for your antibody resistance to this supposed invader. So here we have the duality, UK scientists back COVID boosters. They're coming, folks. They were meant to come, and there's a reason why, because it's commerce. And here's another thing. When they adversely affect commerce, the black woman got vilified for breaking an SUV window, which I didn't clarify in that story. She said she was causing a misdirection, so the cops didn't get the rest of the people that were just peacefully protesting. She wanted to focus their attention on what she did. It wasn't about actually destroying the property, but it happened to be affecting commerce, as the government said. What doesn't affect commerce when you are considered a commerce vessel, human capital, to be exploited through the extraction of the funds and the money that you have to pay or the service you have to give in your life to this faceless thing called government? So here we have COVID boosters are going to be needed, which means the vaccines are not vaccines and they're not long-lived. And this is to remind you that when we get to the professor's lawsuit, he claims and has affidavits from doctors and virologists that say our immune system is far superior. Well, they say equal to or superior than anything that could be coming from a jab. You need to know that. You need to actually get that when I get there. You need to get that document. You need to extract out those parts and go research for yourself so you know it, so you can keep that in your bag of law, your mind, your notes, whatever you're going to do, your documents that you're going to make or have ready. You need to start defending yourself, protecting yourself that way. I don't know if I need to read more of this. They're telling you the boosters are coming. We predicted that. They said they were coming. Why? Because it affects commerce. This is about a promotion. The Congress is promoting commerce. Pfizer, Moderna, reaping billions from COVID vaccine booster market. Do I need to read more? I don't think so. I'm going to move on. You can get the story. You can type it in. You can find it. Read about what the underlying actual foundation for what's going on is. Because of commerce and promoting commerce, they're willing to destroy you, maim you, cause you to think, cause you to be afraid, whatever. Trading with the enemy, that keeps coming up in my mind, but they're the ones in control of all that, and no one's really explained that to you. You haven't studied enough to see how this is also rolling down as another element of the attack and what they use to give license to themselves while they forbid you from being able to do anything in particular, protect yourself, because that would be counter to their prime directive and power, which is facilitating commerce. Coming soon, commerce, coming soon for the unvaccinated, a $50 monthly paycheck deduction from your employer. And this is going to get closer to that professor's lawsuit, as we now will have an answer, at least in law. He's a law professor, it will explain to us that they can't, even though they're third party employers, they cannot threaten you with, especially in view of the emergency treatments that they're providing. There's no authority for it. It becomes a constitutional violation to do that, and they have it all laid out for you when we get there. The carrot and the stick, they're going to now penalize you for working. Big employers are beginning to tack on special surcharge of $20 to $50 a month for unvaccinated workers, the benefits consulting firm Mercer says. Employers are beginning to tack on special surcharge. Did you realize that your job was a tax, folks? Of 20% to $20 to $50 a month on their unvaccinated workers, Their is possessive. If you didn't understand what I've told you before, a long time ago, employment is a master-slave relationship. One of the ways you avoid that is to make private contracts where you supply everything you're going to do to go do the job you contract for. Don't do employment. It's kind of tough, but this COVID's kind of, it is segregating society. I said it might be smart to remove yourself from places and go find those of like mind that don't put up with this, businesses that won't put up with the fraud, and you can live with that and live with those and that condition. And maybe when you're moving, you make, instead of an employment contract, master-servant relationship, you actually do a private contract for your services. You get back to that alternative way to approach it. Maybe it's a little more tenuous that way, but you're free, aren't you? There's no guarantees in the world anyway. You aren't going to be subject as a surcharge to your job relative to some employer's wrongful imposition. But this is what they're doing. To date, employers have offered gift cards, bribes. It says gift cards, but I'm saying bribes. This whole thing's based in bribe. It has to be because it's from fraud. They have to sell it. In fact, one of the things in the past recruitment was, there was another article I found, this is a sales job that they're recruiting for. In fact, it's one of the links you're not going to get that I found relative to the MGT 433 paperwork I found as I was researching through years past their promotions and their newsletters were stating this is more of a sales job position. They've got to get you to buy in. It's all, folks, it's sustainable. I don't even know what more to say. It's for years or decades it's been like this. No one notices it. I don't understand why, but there it is. Gift cards, bribes are given. A day off of work, cash, and financial incentives to convince their workers to get vaccinated against COVID-19. How is a local official who's taking the federal bribe supposed to fight with that, folks, to protect you, given that they're supposed to, truly are supposed to? We get that out of production. I've told you about how that works through the Disposal Acts, the same supremacy power of Congress to dispose the land and the state's requirement to protect you in that disposal. It is there. It's not being done. That's the crime, but that's us, not them. They're getting away with the crime. It's the repeated bank robbery, essentially. Now, the consequence here, more consequences coming down against you for not being jabbed with a poison, a toxin, a chemical weapon, is that this story, UW is a University of Washington medicine, pulls heart transplant patient from list after refusing COVID vaccine. University of Washington Medical Center denied organ transplant to patients who refuse a COVID vaccine as early as June 2021, when hospital officials refused to answer basic questions about their policy. It seems to be, medical care this way seems to be an ongoing harassment and an ongoing, I don't know, it's a crime. I don't know what else to say. In fact, my friend started to get into reading the mining law. Finally, I've been asking him, he finally said, well, I got something to focus on. So good. While you're focused on it, start reading. Come back within 3 or 4 or 5 days. Wow, it's all here, what you've been saying. They have no authority. So it's a black and white is important to get to find out how it is they're violating you, that they're violating you, and that there, until you notice that, there won't be any fight for you. And when you do, you're going to meet the people who are exploiting you under essentially commerce conditions. They're all in on it. But I found out that these injections may range from $78 or $80 and higher, these boosters, too. It's all about thieving from you, extortion of every kind. The hospital refuses to answer basic questions. Why? Because they're in on the fraud. They can't answer the basic questions. In fact, if they weren't in on the fraud, they couldn't answer basic questions because it's a fraud. There's no basis for what's going on other than the fraud. And this guy that's can't get a heart, these organ transplant people that can't get it, that aren't getting because of COVID, you know that their blood is contaminated at the point they get the vaccine. What nonsense is this talking about? And we find proof of that. Japanese Red Cross refuses blood donations from people who receive COVID-19 vaccine. The blood donations from people who have received the CCP, Chinese Communist Party virus vaccine, also COVID-19, are no longer accepted by the Japanese Red Cross. Remember, Chinese Communist Party virus vaccine, it really is only a patented lipid which contains the payload, the Trojan horse of the chemical protein that they're going to inject into you that a company in China has the patent on. This is not the Chinese virus. It's a chemical weapon that the the criminal pharma companies, the profit exploiters, are buying, willfully buying, to put in those injections to put in your arm, to put you underneath this condition. Now let's move into what we can do quickly here. What is going on in the world is a consequence of this force, the policy forcing of these things, the withholding of care, medical malpractice. Just, I don't understand how people haven't just fired up with that one. But remember that Houston story I talked about earlier, but months ago, that the Houston nurses were going to be fired if they didn't accept the jab. That's what happened. They got fired. Now guess what happens? The rollout, the problem. Now remember, this is up against a diminishing ability of the hospitals to be able to respond to COVID-19, notwithstanding the cooking of the books and the false discussion about it, that they are claiming now that the loss of these 150 unvaccinated people, nurses and whatever, support staff, has now started to cripple them. If you didn't think that a couple hundred people can adversely affect a system of thousands, tens of thousands, is what I took away from this story. Those nurses, those 150 nurses that got fired because they wouldn't take the COVID, which now the professor shows is absolutely criminal, absolutely unconstitutional, even by a third-party provider, that they are now having effect. 150 people are having effect on how that system functions. I thought was encouraging. Again, hold your guns. If we can pick up what the professor's doing through that, if that's even though they agree to the COVID, even so, if that's what, as an employee, as a someone who's protected employment because it's employment, a livelihood, and their policies have no public interest, because you can explain with that the lack of the public interest against it, and they kind of said it, the 150 workers said it, we've fought from the beginning to stop this thing, and it wasn't up a problem. And now we're expendable because of this mandate for a vaccine that's actually unconstitutional or a violation of law to impose. But 150 people that lost their jobs are now adversely affecting that whole system. Again, the system causes its own self-inflicted wound. And so if you start to see how this works, you might be able to position yourself a little bit better. As we move in, why would they not want to be vaccinated? Oh, you know, it's for everybody, right? Well, again, as we wait enough time, it comes out. The truth comes out. The CDC director admits those who were vaccinated early at increased risk of severe disease, vaccine effectiveness is waning. Not only then do they need the boosters because it doesn't work so well, it puts you, again, as I reported, the document showed months and months and months and months ago, puts you at increased risk of severe disease and different disease. And the early ins are going to be the early outs here in a way they never thought about. And it'll be your fault, says the Australian Prime Minister, remember. Although in Canada, I understand they are going to, if you got killed by a vaccine, they're going to be magnanimous and bury you for free on their advice to you get that jab, saying that it kills people, folks. During White House press briefing, the director of CDC, Rochelle Walensky, these dual citizen sounding people, said that COVID-19, quote, vaccine's effectiveness against SARS-CoV-2 is waning. Oh, that's why they want to promote the boosters, but it's ineffective is what it is, even if it's SARS-CoV-2 was something that wasn't a chemical attack. See, if it was a vaccine, it wouldn't work against a chemical attack anyway. Have you figured that out? Moving on here, what they say, adding that those who were vaccinated early, quote, vaccinated early, are at an increased risk of severe disease. Why they said only the vaccinated early and not everyone? Because the documentation didn't limit to early vaccine takers on. It is anybody who gets the jab will suffer this thing. This comes out, maybe the 150 nurses that didn't get the vaccine may be smarter than the rest, right? I don't know if I get there, but we even have a story that says that, folks. CDC flip-flops again, now admits fully vaccinated people are spreading COVID-19. Again, just confirmation of what what I've been saying and what the document said, and this becomes a story that's very interesting, why I'm even talking about it. Normally I don't bring up natural news stuff. Not that I don't like the gentleman, I can't remember his name now, the ranger, health ranger. I do like him, but it's like this Alex Jones thing that bothers me a bit. It's a sensationalism that bothers me. It's my interpretation that he doesn't quite understand, even though he's learned and he's very intelligent, there's something he doesn't quite get. Well, I think he's just come to that wall. And so I've got a couple of links to his website because he's now, whatever he's been telling the thousands and thousands of people listening to him, he has come up to the wall of his own ignorance, even though he's in the system of it. And I wanted to say thank you to him for being honest to say that, because it now focuses us now not on the question, but the fact. And this is what his stories start to tell us. Now he sees the CDC flip-flops again, now admits fully vaccinated people are spreading COVID. I don't know how that was ever a question. New story, bombshell, the HHS documents admit the CDC never isolated any COVID-19 virus, the COVID-19 virus. PCR test, nothing but instrument noise. The global hoax is rapidly unraveling. Well, this was just done. Oh, Mike Adams. The penny dropped for him. He finally had to see the experts tell him. And thank goodness for that. And he'll provide a discussion. I listened to his discussion and how he went from being so blinded because of his intelligence as his training and never thought to question some of the experts, that it took this long that he now says, he says it's now unraveling. It unraveled, at least for me, folks, I think it was before February. I told you about that. I told you about the influenza. I told you that was the report in December. Relative to the Philadelphia story, that influenza was very, very high. That is where that penny dropped for me when they started coming out with all the nonsense. Why I'm coming out the 1st of March saying there is no test, folks. This is a big joke. Not a joke necessarily to laugh at. Anyway, Mike Adams, the penny drops for Mike Adams this late. I want to point out people that I guess I would admire if I hadn't known a little bit about the showmanship, if you will, that are causing people to be delayed in their development, if you will. And now he sees it, he explains it. Now he actually will start to contribute even more, I think, because of his training. I think he now gets it. He was in denial a bit because there's this, really, I just want to point out, not in condemnation or judgment, we really don't want to believe it's that people are that criminal. And so that's on, to me, that his response is honest, and I appreciate that he admitted that it's there. But so now for his listeners, it's now a hoax. It's now a fraud. It has no support. It's not even a flip-flop, because it never was. Remember, the fraud never was. Anyway, so I'm excited to finally, he's, you know, somebody else is on board, and fundamentally so. Now, another guy comes along, a doctor. I'm not so sure on a couple things that he said, but doesn't matter. Someone went down to a meeting, someone standing up and getting it and sticking it back in their face. Whatever that does, I don't know. We'll see. But the story comes and says, nothing can stop what is coming. And this guy is a doctor. He reminded me of Dr. David Martin in his look, his appearance. He is highly educated, highly experienced in these things. And he lays it out. And if you wanted to hear a summary of what I've talked about behind the woodshed, for the most part, you can listen to a few minutes that he talks in his meeting, couple minutes, 3 minutes or so in the video through this article. He lays it all out. The one thing I found that he was in his information that I haven't seen proof for, which is quite astonishing, is something about 80% of the women are sterilized by this. Now, I've reported that that was a potential. We see it in the documentation, but to hear a number that 80% of you are sterilized, and to hear, I don't know if I have the story here coming up, but that is part of the story that the professor talks about the sterilization, or that, it was in Tennessee, they stopped the sterilization program for less time because it was a violation of the law, is what they're doing. If that 80% in this guy's testimony before that body is true and that evidence can be found, this is a sterilization program, which can be, then you use the Tennessee condemnation relative to the inmates, which you are locked down, right, to then fight as well. Because all I told you, remember, we did the study for the women. This stuff focuses and localizes into the ovaries within 4 days or so, and that was unexpected. It also goes to the brain. Remember, we talked all about this. Well, here it is. Professor granted vaccine exemption after he sues university to recognize natural immunity. This is a critical link to get. Go find the download. It says lawsuit. Click on it. Get it. I copied the lawsuit over. It's got some very interesting things. I'm wondering right now. I haven't had a chance to analyze it to actually adapt it right now into a couple of pending things. But here we have, they don't want to tangle with this. They just went to an agreement. There's still some follow-up that they're not doing at the university, but he lays out the case, and you need to read that document. George Mason University granted a veteran law professor a medical exemption from its COVID-19 vaccine mandate after he filed a lawsuit demanding recognition of his natural immunities, according to his lawyers. And I talked to you before about susceptibility. They don't have that test. He shows that there may be a test, but you're going to have to go through a doctor to do it. I'm not so sure I'm going to go through all that in order to assert the same thing. Your mileage may vary for your condition. You need to see what he's talking about there. Some very interesting legal principles being applied in a way I haven't seen done, even though they agree that SARS-CoV-2 does something called COVID-19. Notwithstanding that, his natural immunity and the virologist to testify by affidavit, which are included there, also some very important information to see, says that your natural immunity is at least as powerful, if not more powerful, and without the risks. And they explain how that can happen for you, if it's not already there, is what my other thought was. So that brings me on, if that professor can do that, what is this judge able to do, vax or jail, the dilemma facing some Americans? And we hear about Brandon Rutherford, was recently presented with a dilemma as an Ohio courtroom gets vaccination or face incarceration order. And this is that judge that says, well, I'm just protecting the public. And you see how this works now. Where it's deemed by the CDC oppressor that vaccination is working, then that judge can say, the bar member can say, I'm just protecting society. In fact, the lesser risk community is the infected community from which the healthy people are then put in a green zone. If you get this one all figured out, kind of maybe write me a note. Well, I got it figured out. The point is that when you just hear the nonsense of it, how do you figure it out just by coming, walking in the room and hearing that joke? Are you going to laugh at it? So this is the condition they stick you in, and the judge just says, I'm doing my job. And he's really arrogant about how he's doing that. Yet I would still say that this gentleman has a habeas to write relative to that, especially after I just saw what the professor did. Study finds most highly educated Americans are also the most vaccine hesitant. No, it's fraud. Okay, so we're not hesitant at fraud. We're looking for a way to arrest it. But let's look at that. Highly educated Americans, most vaccine hesitant is an interesting story. You got to look inside the story, though, because it says, interestingly, the most intelligent and the dumbest will not want to take the vaccine. The distinction between the two is the one that's considered the dumbest in the list of the hierarchy will change his or her mind. Which one are you, folks? The only apparently, if you don't want to get the vaccine, you're either the most intelligent or you're the dumbest. And the only thing that distinguishes him for you is, will you change your mind? And when you change your mind, you'll know which one of the two ends of the spectrum you're on. Thank you, Grimner, for what you do. I hope you get better. Hope you're coming along. I hope you're progressing. Appreciate it. All the syndicators appreciate what you've been doing. We'll try and keep this more normal and more regular. Be back here next week. Tech diffs. See how important that word is? Tech diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.